Blog Talk Radio.
Shalawan, shalawan, peace and blessings to everyone that's out there in my radio audience today. I am your host, Elisheva. This is Sister Radio Talk Show. We are here again with a wonderful show today. And I'm here because I need to be here, because there's a lot of things going on in our Black community that we need to discuss, that we need to talk about, and that we need to bring to the table. Today our show will be, our title for our show today will be Marriage and Emotional Abuse and the Black Community. This will be a 7-day series. This is the first broadcast for this topic today. Let me repeat that. Marriage and emotional abuse in the Black community. And again, this is Sister Radio Talk Show. And I am your host, Elisheva. So we're going to go right into our show today, because we know it's a lot going on in our Black community with marriages and also with abuse, and especially emotional abuse. So we're going to go right into our show today, and we want to bring all this out on the table. We want to bring everything to the forefront about marriage and abuse. I know me personally, myself, I have been married not only one time, two times. So I have a lot to say today about marriage and emotional abuse. I want to just say this to my Black people today, or my Black community. Emotional abuse is something that can destroy your life. It can destroy your mind. It can destroy your spirit. It can destroy your soul. It can destroy the way you look at things, the way you look at yourself, the way you look at other people. It affects your whole entire life and even other relationships that's outside of marriage, like your family relationship or a friend relationship or any form of relationship. When you are emotional abused, can affect you very, very bad and very, very seriously. And we see a lot of emotional abuse in our Black community. Everybody's been abused, whether it's through marriage, but today we're talking about marriage. But I just want to break down a few ways that we as Black people are being abused in our emotions. But our main focus today will be on marriage and emotional abuse. Okay? But I want to name a few things. And I thank God today, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for bringing me to the show today to talk to you, to encourage you and give you hope and give you some answers and some solutions and some understanding and some wisdom and knowledge to what you need to do to straighten out not only your marriage, but also straighten out your own self. Because when you become abused, like I said, it affects your whole life. So I give honor to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Hebrews. Okay? And I was just talking to my brother yesterday about, I want to do a radio show on marriage and abuse. And I said, I need more time, because I'm just giving you a testimony now of the goodness of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I need more time because 30 minutes is not long enough for me to talk to my brothers and sisters about emotional abuse and abusive marriage. I need more time because just me telling you about my marriage and what I went through, it's going to take at least 30 to 40 minutes for me to even give you a small portion of what I went through in my life being married for 25 years. Okay? That's the first marriage. So I said, God, Father, I need more time because I need to talk to the people. I need to be able to take my time. I don't want to rush. I want to just lay it out there so they can get a full understanding and a full knowledge to what we can do as a black community and a black race of people to fix our lives and to fix our marriage and to fix our children. I mean, everybody's been abused in the black neighborhood. Everybody. By my mama, my sister, my daddy, my brother, my cousin, my friend. You show me somebody that's in the black neighborhood that haven't been abused. And you know what? If you can do that, if you can give me one person, now I sound like Abraham in the Bible, when he said, Lot, this, because he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was praying, Abraham was praying, and God came to him and told him, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, you know what, Abraham, you can just give me 10 people give me 10 people that's doing good and not sinning and doing wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah, and I won't destroy the place. I'll have mercy on that place. He said, give me 10 people. Abraham couldn't give him 10. I'm just paraphrasing. Abraham couldn't give him 10 people. He said, if you give me one or two or three, can you give me one person or two? He could not give him any. And that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, because everybody in that city was wicked and evil, and they was abusing not only themselves, they was abusing one another and everybody that came to the city to visit the city. They, the strangers, they was raping them, having sex with them, abusing them, killing them. This is what's going on in the black community right now today. That's why I say my mama been abused. Everybody in my family's been abused. And if you could show me one person or two people that have not been abused in the black community, I would give you $100. I would give you $100 right now. If you can show me. If you have proof of that. Proof of that. And you know what? You cannot find it, because if they haven't been abused in their marriage, or let me start naming some forms of or some types of abuse. Marriage is one of them. Verbal abuse, that's another one. Physical abuse. Sexual abuse. Loneliness, rejection, mental abuse, it's all kind of abuse going on in our black neighborhood. So today I'm sitting here because I want to discuss all the abuse that's going on in our environment. And like I say, I thank the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Hebrews, because he gave me more time today. I told my brother yesterday, I need more time. And when I come to my blog talk platform today, they was announcing that we're going to give you 30 days free of more time. So I know this is just the favor of God and the blessing of God that he's given me this platform so I can share with you my hurts, my pains, my fears, my doubts, my misery, my brokenness, everything that I have went through in my life for 53 years. Okay? 53 years. But let's first deal with marriage first. Let's deal with marriage. Because the topic of the show is marriage and emotional abuse in the Black community. So let's deal with the first word, which is marriage. And the way I'm going to do that, I'm going to come with a scripture out of the Bible. Because me as a Black woman, I believe in putting God, like I say, you know who he is to me, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe in putting him in every single detail of my life. Because he has been so wonderful and so great to me, even though I went through all the abuse and all the bad marriage and all the stuff that I went through in life, he still has been a good God to me because he brought me out of all of that with my right frame of mind. Because the things that I'm about to share with you, I don't even supposed to be here today. I'm supposed to be dead or somewhere in a mental institution because I done lost my mind because of all the abuse that I went through, not only in the 25 years of marriage, being married to an abusive man for 25 years, and also being abused every way you can think about and call abuse. I've been there, okay? And like I say, it was nobody but him that kept me in my right mind, where I didn't kill myself, suicide, hurt myself, went to a mental institution, and don't have my right mind no more, okay? I thank him today. I give him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for this radio broadcast and this platform that he has given me to share my life experience. And you will be blown away by some of the things that I'm going to share with you. Like I said, this is broadcast number one of a 7-day series. And by the time I get finished with this 7-day broadcast, your whole life will change if you listen to the broadcast. Believe me, this is a divine, divine platform that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have given me to share my life story with my brothers and sisters and the Black community. I don't want to hide it no more. I don't want to pretend like it didn't happen in my life no more. I don't want to keep it under the rug or keep it inside of me or don't want nobody to know that I went through a bad marriage or that I was abused emotionally. I don't want to do that anymore. It's time for the world to hear what Elisheba went through in her life. Because I'm still here today because I need to share it to the world. I survived it to share it, to help you, to help you, to help you, man, woman, boy, and girl, to help you. I'm going to read the Bible now. I feel right now that I can read the first text of this 7-day series. This is text that I'm about to read. It's going to be the text for the whole 7 days. We're going to read this text out of Genesis chapter 2, verse 20 through 24. See, I got time today. And I'm so glad that I have time. Because I can take my time and share with you what's in my heart, what's in my mind, what's in my spirit, and what God is saying to us that we need to do as a abusive person, what we need to do to heal ourselves, to get ourselves delivered, to change, and to be the unique and beautiful, successful people that he put us in this world to be. But until we get rid of all that's inside of us, that we have clogged up inside of us for many, many, many years, all the pain, all the hurt, all the confusion, all the misunderstanding, until we get all of that hurt out of us, we cannot ever be free. And this is what's wrong with our black community. We've been so abused by our husbands. I can't even read the scripture right now because I still have to talk to you. We've been so abused by our husbands, by our mamas, by our daddies, by our uncles, by our grandmas, by our cousins, by our friends, by our jobs. We've been abused by government, everywhere you look around, black people have been abused. And this is why we are where we are right now in our life. Because we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to let nobody know and share with each other what we've been through. We want to act like nothing has happened to us in our lives. We want to act like nobody have did nothing to us. Nobody have abused us. Nobody have hurt us. And if they have did it, we don't want to discuss it. We don't want to talk about it. We want to pretend like it's okay that I went through that. And God is with me, and God is blessing me, and I'm going to be all right. No, I'm here to tell you, you're not going to be all right until you confess and deal with the fact that you've been abused, and you've been misused, and you've been mistreated. It's never going to go away. I don't care how far you try to put it out your mind, put it out your heart, that it didn't happen to you. Our church leaders have abused us. Oh, I forgot about them. I left them out. We've been abused also by our religious institutions, our elders, our bishops, our pastors, our deacons, our church members. I'm telling you people, this goes very, very deep. And I am the one to bring the deepness out. Because you know what? I don't have time to hide it no more. And I don't have time to act like it didn't happen and it's not happening and it's not going on right now. Because it is. You notice that don't no church person or church people or your pastors or your elders want to talk about abuse? No. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the fact that they granddaddy raped them, or they mama raped them, or they uncle hurt them, or they uncle did this to them, or they uncle beat them, or they daddy beat them, or they daddy beat their mama, or They don't want to talk about none of that. They just want to talk about money and God love us and everything going to be all right. I'm talking about the Hebrew Israelite community. I'm talking about the Muslims. I'm talking about the Jehovah's Witness. I'm talking about the Christian church. I'm talking about Buddha. I'm talking about all forms of religion. They do not want to discuss these issues that we have. But yet and still, they want us to sit up under them, go to their synagogues, go to their churches, and act and pretend like nothing is wrong with us. When we have so much wrong with us today. I'm going to read this scripture. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20 through 24. And I thank you. I thank you for being here. I welcome you here. I'm glad that you're here, and I wish you call in and talk to me about something that's bothering you or hurting you. I would love to discuss anything that you are going through, whether it's physical abuse, marital abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse, loneliness, rejection, bitterness, whatever it is. I would love for you to call in and let's have a discussion and a prayer. Because that's what we need. We need God, the God of the Bible, not man, not nobody can heal and help us, but our God, and we can heal and help one another. That's the solution to our so many problems. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. Let me get the scripture for you. This will be our text scripture. A text scripture is something that you're going to read every time you do a broadcast. I say it's going to be 7 days. Genesis 2, verse 20. Let's dig right into it now. Let's dig right into this very hurtful and painful broadcast. But it must be done. It must be done so we can be free. So we can understand that we don't have to hide no more. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to fake it, women, that we happy in our marriage and my husband not abusing me, or my husband not beat me up, or my husband not calling me all kind of names. Like, you know the names. I don't have to say the names. All kind of bad names. You know, bitch, hoe, whatever they calling us, man. Whatever they calling us. It's okay. We need to discuss this. It's called verbal abuse. Okay? It's okay. You know, you can tell it now. You can let the world know what you are going through. This is what God wants you to do. This is why you're going through and you're still alive and you're still here. Because God wants you to tell the people, the women, that don't have enough courage and don't have enough confidence to get on a live radio broadcast and talk about their life. We have to tell it. For the ones that's afraid to tell it. Okay? And don't have the courage to tell it. We can encourage them. We can give them hope by what we say. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. And Adam gave name to, I'm reading out of the King James Version Bible for anybody that want to know. That's the Bible that I read. That's the Bible that I have my faith in that Bible. Let me start over. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. Okay? What is a help meet? What is a help meet? And we're just dealing with marriage right now. We're going to deal with marriage right now. An aid. This is Adam. God gave him an aid. An aid is somebody that assists you in things that you need to be done. It's just like an aide in a nursing home. If the old man can't bathe himself or the old woman, you have to aid her or help them to bathe themselves. Okay? So this is what a help meet is. It is an aid, somebody that was put in your life to help you with everything that you need to be done. Okay? Man and woman. You was put in your husband's life, woman, sister, to aid him, to help him with whatever he needs help with. Now, verse 21. And I'm going to just read it how I see it because really, you know, the word Lord, to me, it should be a name there. But I'm going to just read it for the audience sake the way I see it. Because everybody don't believe the way I believe when it comes to the Bible. You know, I don't want to use Hebrew words or Hebrew names for God. You know, instead of Lord, I want to use a Hebrew name for God that I believe in. That's okay. I just give it to you the way I see it. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Okay, you notice right there in verse 23. And Adam said, God then said, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Okay, I'm talking about marriage right now. I'm talking about marriage, the way a man should look at his wife, because he is the head. Okay? God put him over us because he was created before we was created. And we was created from him. But I'm talking about marriage, and I'm talking about how Adam phrase this scripture saying that she is bone of my bone. This means that Adam acknowledged that his wife was everything that he was. Let me say that again. Adam acknowledged that his wife, Eve, was everything that he was. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Okay? She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore, verse 24, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Okay? One flesh. I'm going to look up the word cleave in the Hebrew. It's Hebrew number 1692. that is cleaned, or figuratively, to catch by pursuit. Cleave, fast together, follow, close, hard after, being joined together, keep, fast, overtake, pursue, stick together. So Adam is saying right here by his wife Eve, and this is what God told Adam. You got to leave your father, and you got to leave your mother, and you got to leave everything else that will come in place of you being the man and being the husband of your wife, Eve. You got to cleave to her. That means you got to follow her, be close to her, spend time with her, respect her, love her, accept her, pursue her, look for her, be joined together with her, not her being in the house with you and you sitting on one end of the couch and she sitting on the other end of the couch, or she in the bedroom waiting for you to come in the bedroom and have and be with her and make love with her and have sex with her, but you outside in the living room watching TV, watching a football game, of doing whatever you want to do and ignoring this woman's needs and this woman, your wife's desires. So you, man, that you say you're a man of God, you say that God is your father and God is in your heart, and you say you love your wife, and you married your wife because you loved her and you wanted to be with her and you wanted to do this with her. Well, why aren't you not cleaving to your wife? Why your wife, you and your wife in the same house, and she got to look for you? And she got to say, honey, when are you going to spend time with me? Honey, when are we going to do this together? Honey, when are we going to make love? Honey, when can we do this? When can we go here? No, you are too busy doing other things, putting your mind on things that's replacing what you're supposed to be giving your wife. I'm talking to the men out there, the Hebrew men, the Christian men, sinner man. It don't matter whatever kind of man you is, brother. I'm saying whatever kind of man you are. I'm sorry for that improper grammar. I'm talking to you. You're supposed to cleave to your wife. Now, let me read one more scripture. And it says here that you got to leave your father and your mother. You can't be running to your mama telling her everything about your wife and what y'all doing in your house and what's going on. Mama, I don't like this. I don't like that. What's going on? You know, you tell your mother everything that's going on in your household. And God say here, right here in Genesis chapter 2:24, you must leave your mother. That means you don't confide in your mother about what's going on in your household. That's between you and your wife, what's going on in your household. Stop being mama boy. Stop loving your mama so much that you got to report to her everything that's going on when you're not happy, when your wife did something wrong, or when your wife ain't doing something to please you. Oh, mama, you think I should still be married to her? Or you think I should divorce her? Or should I leave her? No, you are a mama's child. You are a mama's little boy. And you need to grow up, man, and be the man that God wants you to be so you can make your wife happy, because that's your job as a man, to make your wife happy. Now, let me go to one more scripture, and I'm going to give you a testimony after that about my marriage. I'm going to go to you, to Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. I have to take my time, knowing that I have enough time to say what I need to say today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. Sisters, women, we are hurting. We are in a lot of pain. We are in a lot of torment. We are in a lot of brokenness. We sad. We miserable. We're not happy because we're not getting what we're supposed to be getting from our husband. We're not getting it. They're tossing us to the side. They're throwing us to the side. They're putting everything in front of us. They put their friends in front of us. They're putting their mama in front of us. They put TV in front of us. They put PlayStation video games in front of us. They put going over their friend's house, going to their men's house, they put everything in front of us. And this is why we feeling so alone. This is why we feeling so sad. This is why we feeling so miserable. This is why we feeling so disgusted. This is why we feeling so alone, because the man is not doing what they supposed to do as a husband to their wife or wives. Ephesians 5, verse 28. Thank you. Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings. So ought man to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I'm going to say that again. So ought man to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Remember, I read that to you in Genesis. For this cause, there it go again in the New Testament, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Okay, one flesh. One flesh. You should be looking at that woman like she's you. Not looking at her like she's somebody else. You need to be looking at her like, this is my bone. And this is my flesh or my flesh. This is me. My wife is me. My wife is me. So however I treat my wife, I'm treating myself that way. And this is just wisdom and understanding right now that I'm trying to give you, brother, if you're listening. However you treat your wife, you're treating your own self that way, because she's bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And that's why you brothers can't get anywhere in life because you mistreat your bones and you mistreat your flesh, which is your wife. That's why you can't get ahead. That's why you can't hear God. That's why you can't get close to God. You can't connect to God. You can't be successful. You can't be the man that you was put in this earth to be because you married a woman, or you married a woman, or you married her, and now you want to mistreat her. Now you want to do her bad. Now you want to do her wrong. You want to make her out of your slave instead of your wife. She's not your slave. She's bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, okay? She's not your slave. She's your wife, and you have to honor and treat her the way that you're supposed to, in the way that God says you're supposed to treat her. And if you're not treating her that way, then you are not of God. You are not of God. You are a sinner, and you are not a husband. And if you're not a husband, you most definitely cannot be a father to your children, because your children are actually looking at the way you're mistreating your wife. So you are setting bad examples all through your house. Let me go back up to Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. I'm sorry. I keep saying Genesis. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. So ought man to love their wife. When you look up the word love in the Greek, it says much. Much. Not a little bit. Not a little bit. Don't sit with me on the couch tomorrow and then you don't want to sit there till 2 days from now. Don't hold my hand walking down the street today and tomorrow you don't want to hold my hand. Don't kiss me today and next week or tomorrow or the next day, you don't want to kiss me. Don't tell me you love me today and tomorrow you can't tell me you love me. Don't spend time with me today and tomorrow you don't want to be bothered with me. Don't have sex with me today and tomorrow when I tell you, honey, come to the room, I need you, you ain't got time for me today, or I don't feel like it today. Again, she is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And man is to love their wives. And I looked up the word love in the Greek. It said much. To love in a social or moral sense. Okay, if you say you love your wife or wives, because I know some of the Hebrew Israelites have more than one wife. They have 5 wives, 6 wives, 10 wives. What you need with all the wives for? Well, you can't treat one right. What you need them for? Just to make your ego high, to make you feel like you're doing what a man's supposed to do. No, man, you can't even treat one right. You can't even love one right. You can't even respect one right. What do you need with 5 of them? Okay? You can't even get a one what she needs, where she feel happy and complete and satisfied. What do you need to get 2 or 3 or 5 of them for? This is just stupidity. That's stupidity. Okay? Love me in a social or moral sense. Social is when the word social means you socialize with your wife. You don't ignore them. You don't pretend like they're not there. You don't act like you're too busy for them. You don't act like they're important to you. You don't act like you want to be their friend. Or you want to spend time with them. Or you want to love them. I'm talking about sociable. That's what love is in the Greek. It's to be sociable in a moral sense. Okay? You're not doing that. Okay? You're not doing that. You're not socializing with your wife. Your wife ain't getting no attention from you. She ain't getting no attention. When the last time you told your wife she was beautiful? When the last time you told your wife that she looked good to you? When the last time you took your wife and just hugged her, rubbed her, made her feel like she was a woman just because she can feel the love coming from her husband? When is the last time you complimented your woman, your wife, on how good she cooked for you, how good she make you feel? When the last time you did these things? When the last time you gave her a back rub and a massage? When the last time you rubbed her and rubbed her feet and kissed her feet, whatever she needs? When, man? This is all sociable. Sociable means spending time with a person in every way that they need you to do that. I'm reading the Greek now, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. And then it says you need to love your wife in a moral sense. This is love. This is love. You just can't love her the way you want to love her, man, and expect your wife to be happy and expect her to submit to you and do everything she tells you to do. You cannot expect that, man, because your wife is not going to submit to you as long as she's not feeling nothing from you. She don't feel no love from you. She don't feel no relationship from you. She don't feel no commitment from you. She don't feel nothing from you other than you telling her, where's my food? I just got out of work. Where my food at? Where my bath water at? Where's this at? Where that at? Okay, just demand. That's all the woman get from the man. And I'm talking about 90% of marriages. I ain't going to say all. I say 90% of marriages. The man is just demanding the woman all the time what he wants. And he never giving her what she needs and what she desires so she can submit up under his authority and up under his rules and his household. Because if a woman not happy, I'm a woman myself. And I told you, I've been married 25 years. I was married 25 years. I'm going to give you that testimony before I get off of here today. If a woman is not happy in every way that she feels that her man or her husband needs to give her happiness, sexually, emotionally, physical, mental, if she's not happy in these areas, she will not feel like submitting unto you and following your rules and your orders. Because she feel like you don't love her and you don't care about her and you don't want to spend no time with her and you don't want to appreciate her and you don't want to accept her for who she is and what she is. You don't want to do none of those things. So she's not going to submit. Now, you have to love her. Let me go back to the scripture. And then I'm going to give you a testimony about 25 years of my abusive marriage. 25 years. Okay? We're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me finish reading this. Still got a little time left. I'm going to try to get through all of it today. It says, so ought a man to love their wives as their own bodies. Your own body, man. You have to love your wife like you love your own body. Do you take care of your body? Do you bathe your body? Do you feed your body? Do you love your body? Huh? You have to love your wife like your own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. This is scripture. This is what God is talking to you about, man. He that loves his wife, love it. There it go again. And Greek number 25, much love in a social or moral sense. Moral sense. More means you don't cuss your wife out and call her all kind of names. Okay? Moral sense means if your wife don't want to have sex in the anus, okay? I hope grown people aren't here because I got to lay it out now. If your wife don't have sex, want to have sex in the anus or her behind in the back, you don't want to have sex with her. Okay? That's unmorally. That's unmorally. God gave a woman and a man to have sex. He gave a woman a vagina to have sex with. He didn't give the woman a back end for a man to go in and have sex. That's unmoral. That's fornication in a marriage. It's unclean. Okay? So, you have to love your wife in a social and moral sense. Okay? You don't go upside her head. Okay? Because she don't feel like cooking you something, or she don't want to make love to you today, or she don't want to do this, or she don't want to do that. You need to sit her down and discuss why she's feeling the way she's feeling. And I guarantee you, if you do that, if you got enough nerve and enough heart and enough love for your wife to do that, I guarantee you, you'll get the answer to why she's feeling the way she's feeling. Loveth his wife. He that loveth his wife loves himself. Loveth, Greek number 25, and a much, and a more, in a social way. Okay? So if you're not loving your wife this way, then you don't love yourself, brother. You don't love yourself. You don't love yourself. You don't love nobody. You can't love anybody. Because if you don't love yourself, who can you love? You can't love your kids. You can't love your daddy. You can't love nobody. Because you got to first love yourself before you can love other people. And I found out that men, brothers, they have a lot of issues, man. A lot of issues. A lot of hidden agendas. A lot of issues. Things they don't want to talk about. Things they don't want to discuss. They pretend like ain't nothing is wrong with them. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling okay. You ask them what's wrong. They coming in the house, slamming the door. They not feeling good. And you as the wife try to go to them and ask them what's wrong with them. Get out of my face. I don't want to talk about it. I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. What's wrong with you? Okay, see, this is what they wear out. They pretend all the time. They pretend all the time that nothing is wrong. But we can see as women that it's a lot wrong with you guys. It's a lot wrong with y'all. You just want to wear the mask and you want to continue to hide and act like and have so much pride as a man that you can't sit your wife down and discuss things and tell her what's wrong with you. Okay? Take the mask off, brothers. Take it off. We tired of it. I don't want to see your mask no more. I want to see the man that I married. I want to see the man that walked down the aisle with me and said that he loved me, he cherishing me, he's going to take care of me, he's going to nourish me and give me what I need. I don't want to see your mask no more. I'm tired of your mask. I'm tired of your fakeness. I'm tired of you trying to tell me, oh, it's not my fault, it's your fault. Something is wrong with you. You emotional. You this, you that. No, we're not emotional. We can just see that something is wrong with you, and you want to act like there's nothing wrong. Let me keep going. Verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. You know what nourish means, sisters? To rear up to maturity. Maturity, that is to cherish or train, bring up, nourish. Nourish our men, our husbands. They need to grow up. They need to grow up and stop being little boys. Stop being mama little boys. Stop being little boys, little men. They need to grow up and grow up so they can nourish and they can honor and they can cherish their wives. They're immature. That's what's wrong with 90% of our men. They are immature and they are broken, sad, misery, and guess what? They pretend like none of this stuff is going on. This is why they won't never change. And they never get any answers for what's wrong and what's going on inside of their heart, their soul, their mind, their spirit. Okay. Let me give you a testimony about my life now. I have three more scriptures. I'm going to read one more. One more. I'm going to hold my testimony for the last. For the last hour of the show. 1 Corinthians. I want to get through these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 3 and 5. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. See, this is a two-way thing. It's just not a one-way thing. It's just not the man giving everything and the woman not, or the woman giving everything and the man not. Let the husband render. Render means to give. To give. Don't ignore your wife anymore, man. Don't ignore her. Accept her. Be pleased with her. Cherish her. Honor her. Render. Give to give away. I'm reading the Greek now. That is up, over, or back. Back. Whatever the woman give you, she give you love, brother. It's just a two-way relationship as we read it. You got to give her love back. If the woman give you money, brother, you got to give the woman money back. If the woman cooking food for you, brother, you need to cook some food for the woman, man. You need to go in the kitchen one day and cook for your wife. Okay, if the woman is cleaning the house, making you comfortable, making you feel good every day you come home from work or wherever you are coming from, you need to get that back to the woman. Let her sit down, honey, today. I'm going to cook today for you. I want to honor you. I want to cherish you. I want to respect you. I want to make you feel good. You sit down, honey. Just sit down and let me cook today. Let me cook the dinner today. Let me clean the house today. Let me do whatever I need to do to make you feel that I appreciate you. And 90% of us sisters are not getting this. And this is why we feel so bad and so miserable and so alone and broken in our marriages. Because we're not getting that. We're not getting none of that. They're not rendering and giving to us what they're supposed to give us. They're supposed to pay. Perform. It says to perform. Recompense. Restore, yield. They're supposed to yield. Render me to yield. Yield yourself to your woman, to your wife, man. Stop ignoring her. Stop ignoring her. Stop having so much pride. Stop letting your hurt and your pain that you're going through destroy your relationship with her. Yield yourself to your woman, to your wife. Reward her for her goodness. For her taking care of you, for her doing good to you. Reward her. This is what the Greeks say. Reward her. Restore her. Don't throw her out. Oh, you go to your pastor or your bishop or your elder. Oh, I don't think I want to be married to that woman no more. I married the wrong woman. I married the wrong sister. I want a divorce now. You want to throw her away, man. And right here it says, let the husband render unto the wife. Do benevolence. Okay, render me also to restore, not to throw her away, cast her to the side. But this is 90% of our men, because y'all little boys, y'all immature, y'all weak, y'all fake, you wear a mask, you want to accept what you need to do to be a man, to take care of wife, to take care of your family, to take care of your household. You need to restore them. You need to deliver them. You need to give the woman what she needs. So she can be happy, because this is your job for you to do. And if you didn't want to do that, brother, you should have never married her. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. Now I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. Oh, let me look up this word. ambivalent. This is Greek number 2133. Let the husband run up to the wife, do ambivalent. Kindness. Kindness. Duty. Goodwill. You're supposed to be kind to your wife. Your wife don't supposed to feel like you don't love her. She don't supposed to feel like she's not important to you. That you don't want to be with her. You don't want to spend time with her. You don't want to be near her. Your wife should never feel that way. If you was doing what God wanted you to do, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're supposed to be kind to her. Render kindness to her. Don't make don't be upside her head. Stop physically abusing her. Stop verbally abusing her. Stop sexually abusing her. She don't want to have sex because she's not feeling good today. She feel like you don't love her. She feel unappreciated. She don't want to lay down with a man that she's not feeling good with or good about. But you want to sexually abuse her and force her and make her have sex with you. This is unmoral. This is not right. That is not right. You want to verbal abuse her, call her everything that you can think her to make her feel like she's nothing. Then she starts feeling lonely and rejected because of all the abuse that's in the marriage. She starts feeling unhappy. She don't want to cook no more. She don't want to clean the floor no more. She don't want to have sex with you no more. Why? Because you have destroyed the woman, man. You have destroyed her. You have destroyed her from within and without. She don't feel beautiful no more. She don't feel accepted no more. She don't feel appreciated. She don't feel loved. She don't feel happy. She don't feel joy because you are not being kind to her. And that's what you're supposed to be to her, kind and loving, making her happy and cheerful, not sad and broken and afraid of you because you land your hands upside of her head. Okay, I'm going to read now, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 4. The wife have not power over her body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband have not power over his own body, but the wife. So this is a two-way street. It's a together thing. It's a together thing. That's what it is. It's a together thing. You don't have no power over your body. Brother, if your wife want to sit next to you, if your wife want to go to bed and make love to you, if your wife want to do whatever she want to do with your body as long as it's morally, then you don't have no power over that. Okay? You don't have no power over that because she's bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. The wife have not power over her own body. Empower me in the Greek number 1850. Control. Authority. No, woman. You don't have power over your own body. Your husband has power over you. And likewise, it says, also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. So it ain't all what you want, brother, when it comes to your body. Or come to her body. It's all about you guys sitting down together and honoring and loving and cherishing and respecting one another's bodies. Okay? When it comes to sex, when it comes to whatever you want to use your bodies for, you don't have no power over it, either one of you guys. Okay? And it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent. With consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. for your inconsistency. Defraud means deprive, keep back by fraud. Don't deprive one another. But I'm mainly talking to the brothers today, because our sisters are so broken. They're so lost. They're so confused in their marriage. They don't know what's going on. Defraud not them. Don't deprive your wife of nothing. Give your wife whatever she needs. As long as you and her agree that it's okay for you not to have sex with her today, or it's okay for you not to do this with her today. It has to be an agreement. Man, you are not in control of everything by yourself. This woman also has rights and privileges inside this marriage and this relationship. Okay? I'm going to hold the other two scriptures that I have for the next segment, which is Deuteronomy 22, verse 29, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 7. I'm going to hold that, because right now, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about my marriage, sisters. I want to talk to you, women. I was married to a man for 25 years. This is my testimony on live radio broadcast. I want the world to hear. For 25 years, I was married to this man. He abused me for the whole entire 25 years. Years of marriage. And when I say abuse, I'm talking about verbal abuse. He called me everything that you can think of a bad word that a man would call a woman. I'm talking about sexual abuse. Honey, I want to have sex today. I want to make love to you today. No, I don't feel like it. I don't want to have sex with you. Not today. Another day. Okay? I was abused sexually because I desired him. And he didn't never want to give it to me the way I desired it. So I feel like I was sexually abused because he held out on me so many times sexually. And sometimes I even had to pay my husband. I'm talking about this man that I married when I was 20 years old. I was a young woman and he was 21. Okay? This man wanted me to pay him to have sex with him when he didn't want to have sex with me. And by me wanting to have him so bad and be with him so bad, because I enjoyed his sex and I enjoyed being with him in a sexual way, I gave him the money. I gave it to him, okay? Which I was wrong for doing that. I was weak. I was weak for him because I was so in love with him and I was so attached to him and I was so vulnerable for him. Okay, that's why I just sit in the marriage for 25 years and let him beat me, physically abused. I mean, this man would kick me. Okay, let me tell you, man. I can be home laying in my bed, man. Laying in my bed, having did nothing to him at all. Okay, he come in the house. What you been doing? What you been doing, B? What you been doing, ho? What you been doing? Laying up in here with some other man or some other nigga? Yeah, what you been doing? I bet you had a nigga up in here when I wasn't here. Okay, I've been accused of all kind of stuff and things in my marriage, man. And then he would beat me. He would beat me. He would knock my, take his fist and black my eyes, bust my nose. He would bite me, man. He would kick me. He would stomp me. He did all kind of physical abuse to me, man. To me. This is the one that I was married to for 25 years. Okay? He abused me physical, verbally, sexually, mentally. For 25 years, I went through this, sisters. Why did I go through that for 25 years? Because I loved him and I felt like I needed him. I felt like I needed him. And I felt like I could not live without him. That's how I felt. That I couldn't live without the abuse. That's what it had to be because I was only getting abused. It was never a good marriage. Not never, ever. Not 1 year was it a good marriage. It was only abuse, 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 abuse. For 25 years, I couldn't break free. And I'm talking to all my sisters right now that's in a bad marriage, that's being emotionally abused by your spouse, by your husband, in a relationship. I'm telling you right now, I know what you're going through because I went through it. And you feel like you ain't got no courage and you can't walk away because you're too in love with that man or you need that man. Or the Bible say that a husband, or that God hates divorce. Or, you know, this is what the religious leaders teach us, that we should divorce our husband, that we should just stay in it and the self-abuse and just pray for it. Just keep praying that God change him, that God help him. I'm here to tell you, I prayed so much, so many times. I did everything. Laid hands on him while he was asleep. Put oil in his shoes. I did everything that I could think of. I fasted. I went 7 days without eating. All kind of things I did. Tried to make myself more beautiful for him. Tried to cook good food for him. I tried to do so many things to please him. Yet still, sisters, he was never pleased. Whatever I did, I was nothing but a hoe. I was nothing but a prostitute. I was nothing but a lesbian. These are all the bad names that he called me. I was nothing but a lesbian. I was never nothing, sister. So I'm telling you, if you can walk away, please, sister, don't be like me. Don't stay in that marriage. Don't stay in that ungodly act with that man. Walk away. Because I'm here to tell you today, the only way I got out of that marriage is that God had to take my husband's life. God took his life at 46 years old. That's the only way I was able to walk away. God had to take him from me. That's how much I loved him. But don't let that be you today because I wasted so much time in my life. I hurt myself. I damaged myself. I destroyed myself, sisters. I destroyed my emotions. I destroyed who I am. I messed up my personality. I messed up who God wanted me to be in my life because I decided to stay in an abusive marriage. Don't do that. He is not going to change. Believe me. You can go to marriage counseling. You can go to your pastor. You can go to your elders. You can do whatever you want to do. They will not ever change because, and I'm talking about 90%, because it's not in them to change. They don't love you enough to change. They don't love you enough to do something different or to treat you different or to make you feel good or to make you feel happy. They don't love you enough because they don't love their own self. They don't even know what love is. They've been hurt and abused their own self. But that's not an excuse for us to go around hurting and abusing other people because we've been abused and hurt. No, it's not an excuse. We should know that it's wrong. They should know that it's wrong to mistreat their wives. Their wives. They should know that it's wrong. But they don't care, sisters. They don't care. Don't be that, sister. Walk away. I even became a pastor after being married about 10 years. I became a pastor of a Christian church. Guess what? The abuse didn't stop, sister. It did not stop because I became a pastor. He still was calling me names. He still was calling me prostitute. He still was calling me lesbian. He still was saying bad things to me. I ain't this. I ain't that. You ain't nothing. You ain't never going to be nothing. I should have never married you. All these kind of things he said to me, sister. And I was a pastor of a Christian church. So this is what I'm saying. You can pray till you're blue in the face. Or you can do whatever you feel you need to do to try to help your marriage. Which that's what I tried to do. But it did not work. It did not work. So I wanted to say this today. I've been abused emotionally, all kind of ways. Not just through marriage, sexual abuse, child molestation, all kind of abuse I have been through. That's why this got to be a 7-day segment or 7-day series, because I have a lot to say. I have a lot to say, sisters. But I'm telling you, the man is not going to change. You need to walk away and do something different with your life and start loving yourself and start trying to understand who you are and who God put you in this earth to be. Because I waste my whole entire life been married to an abusive man for 25 years. And guess what? On his deathbed, before he died, he still did not apologize to me about all the things that he did to me. He never had a conscience. He never had a mind to apologize. Every time something happened, it was my fault. It's never him. It's never going to be them, sister. It's going to always be your fault. It's going to always be your fault. They're going to always blame you for everything. He never apologized, even on his deathbed. Okay, sister? I'm telling you, I'm here to encourage y'all. I'm here to help you guys. I'm here to let you guys know that there is a better way for us in this life. We don't have to continue with this abuse and this emotional abuse that we get in our black community among our men. We don't have to let nobody abuse us and hurt us anymore. Whether it's our mama, our daddy, our cousin, our sister, our brother, our husband, whoever it is, sister. We don't have to be abused no more. God don't want us to be abused no more. He wants us to be the women that he created us to be, who he put us in this earth to be. We are the life givers of this world. We are the life givers. We give life in this world. We give life. Our name means life. Eve's name means the mother of life. We are, sister. And I want to encourage you, and I want to pray with you, sisters. I want to pray with you. I want you to come on this broadcast live so we can talk about, so we can discuss, so we can form a group, so we can begin to pray and intercede and build one another up and help one another so we can walk away and get out of these bad relationships and these bad marriages and all this abuse and all this stuff we've been harboring inside since we was kids because we got molested, we got raped. Okay, we got beat by our moms and our dads. We seen our mom and our dad fight, and your dad beat your mom. We've been through so much abuse in the black community. And we got to talk about it now. We got to talk about it now. We cannot put it under the table no longer. Forget them Christian churches. Forget them Hebrew Israelite churches. Forget the doctrine that they don't talk to. Because what is doctrine? What is doctrine? If you're miserable, if you're unhappy, what do that mean if you're going up in a church to listen to an elder and a pastor and you're not happy, sister? I'm telling you, I was a pastor for 15, 16, 20 years. And I wasn't happy because I had to go back home to my abusive husband that wanted to fight and call me off. One thing did stop when I became a pastor. He stopped putting his hands on me. He stopped putting his hands on me. But he would still call me very bad names. And he was mentally abusive and sexually abusive. What good is a church setting, sister? What good is you going to listen to somebody telling you to stay in a marriage that's no good for you? Because God hates divorce. I got something to show you about that with the next segment. God hates divorce. Yes, he hates divorce. But he also hates a man abusing a woman and rejecting us and despising us and hating us and not giving us what we need as women, as their wives, as the mother of their children. He also hates that too. Do the pastors tell us that? No, you just shouldn't divorce your husband because God hates marriage. You just need to stay in it, sister, and just pray and wait for your change to come. No change gonna never come, sisters. Believe me, sisters, walk away so you can be happy, so you can be free, so you can do the things that you was created to do by God. Long as you with that man, long as you harboring all the abuse that you've been through since a child and all of the stuff you don't saw in your life and people did you wrong, you will never be able, sisters, to do what you need to do in this life. You're going to be always miserable, sisters. Sad, crying, lonely, broken, distorted, unhappy. Okay, sisters, stressed out, depressed. How can you be with a man that say he loves you and you feeling depressed? You feeling sad? You feeling lack of love? You don't feel happy? You don't feel no peace? You don't feel no joy? You actually feel like this man don't even like you. He don't even want to be around you. He go in the other room and do something else, watch TV, put his attention on something else, sisters. Not on you. Not on you. And you don't work to clean the house and wash his clothes. And you done did everything that you can possibly do to make this man acknowledge you and appreciate you and come home from work and say, honey, I love you. You did a beautiful job. What can I give you today? What can I do for you, honey? Oh, yes. You see, sister. But no, the man just go and do something else and put his attention into something else. He don't want to hug you. He don't want to kiss you. He don't want to rub you. He don't want to caress you. He don't want to do nothing with you because he don't like you. He don't like you, sisters. They don't like us. They pretend like they like us. They don't like us. Oh, you too controlling. Oh, you this. Oh, you that. You want to be my boss. I'm not your slave. I'm not, when you ask them to do something, they say, I'm not your slave. Slave? You're supposed to be my husband. You're supposed to render, do vigilant unto me. Give me what I need. I'm not the slave. I'm not this. Oh, no. You just want to use me. Oh, you think you can tell me what to do. You think, what I supposed to do, honey, when I'm trying to let you be the man of the house, but all you want to do is come home, get a plate of food, sit down and eat your food, and go watch TV, and you ain't got nothing to say about nothing else. Nothing else. I don't want to talk about nothing. I don't want to do nothing with you. Just go ahead over there, what you want to do. I'm okay. No, sister. They don't like us. They don't like us, sister. They talk bad about us. We don't need them. We don't need them, sister. We don't need them. If they don't want us, we don't need them. We don't need a man that don't want us, don't respect us, don't honor us, don't want to love us, don't want to be with us, don't want to kiss us, don't want to touch us, don't want to caress us. We don't need them. I was in that marriage for so long, sister, that I ended up hating myself. I became so mentally messed up, sister. I became so destroyed that I was so depressed, sister, that I was suicidal. I felt like I didn't even want to be here no more, sister. That's how bad that marriage made me feel after 25 years. I just said, what the sense of me living? I'm only going to just live with this man that's going to keep hurting me and abusing me. He don't say nothing good to me. Yes, sister, please listen to me. I will be back. I will be back. If not tomorrow, a couple more days, I'll be back on. I must lay this out on the table. Yeah, we've been abused by our uncles, raped us. Our daddies raped us. Huh? Our cousins, our mama, our grandma. We've been raped. We've been misused. We've been beat by our mom, by our dad. Okay? We've been bullied in school, talked about, rejected. We've been so abused in the black community. And this is why we hurting one another. We killing one another. We shooting one another. We hating each other. We don't want to be bothered with one another. Why? Because we've been abused for so very long. And we don't want to deal with the fact of the abuse that we went through. We want to just say, I'm grown now. It happened to me. I want to forget about it. No, you're never going to forget about it. You're never going to forget about something that hurt you and destroyed you as a child. As a child, I'm encouraging you, my sister. Please, sister, find the courage. Find the strength. I don't care if the Hebrew man, Israelite man, got 10 wives. You be one wife less to him. Walk away, sister. Walk away. Walk away, sister. If you've been abused and mistreated in that marriage and you're not feeling good, you feel hopeless, you feel like every other woman in the marriage getting all attention, everybody else getting attention, his friends getting attention, I ain't getting nothing. Walk away. I'm not getting anything. Walk away, sister. Please. I love y'all. I want to help my sister. Shalawan, peace and blessings, my sister. Until we meet again next time, talk to your God about walking away from something that's hurting you and destroying you. Peace and blessings. Shalawan, be blessed, sister. I love y'all forever. I love y'all forever. I love my brothers and sisters. I love my sisters. I wish we could do something to help our men, but we can't because they don't want no help. They want to pretend like nothing is wrong. And then they say we're emotional when we try to talk to them. No, we're not emotional. We just know something is wrong, and we want to figure out what we can do to help you or help the situation. We're not emotional. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Hebrews, be with my sisters. Get them strength. Get them courage to walk away from something that's not good for them. I thank you for them today and bless them and help them to do whatever they need to do. Shalom.